Welcome to the 24th episode of the Broken Pictures podcast / YouTube show, where we talk about the top three things in pop culture you may have missed this week.
There could potentially be some spoilers for your favorite movies, TV shows, video games, and/or comics. You have been warned, you whippersnappers. This is the FOMO show.
Wow.
All right.
Way to keep it interesting.
Well, our names. What are our names? I'm Quinn.
And I'm Dylan. And so once again, we'd like to thank you. So once again, we'd like to say thank you for joining us on YouTube or podcast, and hello to all our new watchers and or listeners in the States and internationally and beyond and wherever space or something.
Hi, aliens.
And, Area 51. So if you want to keep the conversation going, you can, of course, support the show. You can comment below. You can find all that information in the episode notes on the website. Or on the website at www.broken.picturesno.com. And you can also leave us a voice message at, we'll play it on the show maybe. Go to www.anchor.fm/thefomoshow to talk to us. And, you know, if writing comments isn't your thing, you know.
You can just talk to us. And
like a normal person, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, normal is debatable.
Super debatable.
And overrated. So YouTube viewers, please like and subscribe. Hit the little bell icon for new...
Ding.
notifications. Sorry, I didn't wait for you, my man. Okay. Podcast listeners, please leave 5 stars in your podcast app. Help other people find us. We'd appreciate that. Thank you. Yes. So same thing going on. We're taking a little poll. We're just trying to figure out, should we go live? We're looking at going live. Right now, we're leaning into going live. We think so. But, I mean, if you've got some arguments why we shouldn't or whatever, we'd love to hear them. Right now, it's just a matter of getting the equipment together. So, I mean, if you want to support the show or donate, we'd appreciate that. That would help us expedite the process. But... otherwise, that's what it's going to be hanging on, to be honest with you. Yeah, because the FOMO show just isn't this radical moneymaker, if you didn't know. So,
not the moment. It's not.
Yeah, we'll get there.
One day. Yeah.
So what are you guys into this week? What are you watching, playing, reading, whatever? Let us know if we should miss it or don't miss it. Is it good or is it not good? So what about you, Quinn?
I am... good. I'm watching Good Omens.
Yeah.
On Amazon Prime TV, whatever their thing's called. Amazon. Yeah, the thing where you can watch the videos where Amazon and you get Prime and you get your packets in 2 days, but they also give you stuff to watch that.
Yeah, and then there's stuff that you can't watch.
Yeah.
Unless you buy unlimited.
Unless you buy unlimited. Because Amazon just wants all our money.
Yeah, the tiers are weird.
What was it? Yeah, Good Omens. It's, you know, story about the end of the world, but it's more of a story about an angel and a demon, and they're like best friends, and it's a really sweet story, and they've been friends since like the beginning of time. Wow. I'm only like episode 3.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's they used to live in heaven together, right? Until the fall.
Kind of. They're like...
third of the angels. Is this a different...
it's kind of, their interpretation of it is a little different. Because, like, they were both in Eden, and Crowley is what he used to be called, but he changed his name to Crowley. He was the snake that told Eve to eat the apple, and they got them kicked out.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, that's, so, you don't want to be that guy.
But it's really sweet, and it's like, if you're a fan of, like, British comedies already, like, go ahead, watch it. But if not... expect some points in time where you're like, what is going on and why do I feel like I'm just watching a TV show with the Beatles?
All right, mate, here we go.
I mean, yeah, but yeah, don't miss it. I think it's really good. I enjoy it, so yeah. What about
cool.
you?
Very cool. Of course, we're still watching the OA season 2. Just scheduling, it's hard. It's hard for us to binge anything unless we plan it like we did with Stranger Things. Let's see. I cannot remember what we'd watch for pizza movie night. I posted it. So it's out there if you want to look me up on Facebook.
A Never Ending Story?
Yes, yes. There you go. That's what it was. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I even just mentioned Stranger Things 3.
Yeah.
That's I couldn't stop thinking about it since then. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I love that movie. And yeah, it's been a while since my kids saw it, and they didn't really remember some of it. And to them, it did not hold up at all. It was hard. Like they're in the swamp of sadness, and of course, Artex, and you know, and they're just like my youngest daughter, who's 11. Just starts giggling, and I'm like, "How dare you?" He's like, "This is the swamp of sadness. Like this is like the most emotional part of the movie." They apparently they have issues because anytime it gets quiet during a movie, or there's like a serious part, somebody's got to get up and go do something. Like they can't just sit through it. It's too uncomfortable, too awkward for them. It's weird.
Oh, I remember the first time I watched that movie. I didn't know what I was watching. I stumbled upon it as I did a lot of things as a child. By accident, I was watching it and I got to the part of the swamp of sadness, and I was just like really distraught, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. This is a never ending story. Does this mean this movie's never gonna end?
Like, I can't do more of this.
So yeah,
first time I watched it, I remember I was like first or second grade maybe, and it was like we're in the classroom and they rolled the TV in, and I was just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I am this kid. I am all those kids. You know, it's like, I'm Atreyu. I am Sebastian. I am this movie. I love this movie. And that was like my journey, my entry into nerddom, as far as I remember going back into like fantasy type stuff. Of course, that one has like every trope imaginable, just like it's like a collage of everything. I mean, yeah, even like thing. Native American stuff is like, I don't even know if that kid is Native American or not. It's like at first I couldn't even tell if he was a boy or not. I mean, it's weird feelings for a first grader. It's like, am I attracted to a tree? I don't know. He's cute. I don't know
what's going on anymore.
I'm very confused right now. I shouldn't be having these feelings at this age. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah, anyone else have struggles with Atreyu when they were young? That's not why I like the movie, but it's still a great movie. Anyway, yeah. Okay.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss The Never Ending Story. And don't miss Stranger Things, who gives an awesome tribute to The Never Ending Story.
Yep.
So...
Right, so on to the number one movie of the week. And the number one movie of the week still is Spider-Man Far From Home. And it looks like, yeah, everything's still fine on Rotten Tomatoes. It's second week?
Second week.
Congrats, mm-hmm. Spider-Man. You did it. You beat Toy Story.
Yeah.
But can you beat Lion King?
We'll see. Oh, yeah, that's a big one. I still have not seen Spider-Man 2. Far From Home, so please stop spoiling crap online. Like, I know every twist and turn of the movie just from seeing freaking headlines on YouTube and photos, like how long this and that. It's like, is so and so alive? It's like, stop. Like, you can be vague with your headlines and say spoilers. Stop being a troll, stop trolling folks and just trying to get likes and thumbs up just by being,
it's about that clickbait
for real. Clickbait, boo on clickbait. Boo. Princess Bride, that's another good one. Boo.
Yeah.
Queen of filth. Queen of refuge.
Aww. 80s movies.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Cary Elwes is in Stranger Things 3 as well. Who's, you know, the Dread Pilot, Pirate Roberts, and Wesley. Speaking of Lion King coming, we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, like the remakes deal. Go back and watch that episode. But, I mean, just to kind of reiterate what we were saying is like Lydia said, nobody asked for these remakes. Nobody wanted this. Like, we love the original. Stop messing with it. Like, it is rotten.
Is it?
It is rotten. It is like, I want to say it's like, it's down in the like low 50s or something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's the critic reviews. Of course, some people are saying, I was confused by that because from what I was seeing in the general consensus, of course, you know, they've got certain things that when they roll out, like, you know, nothing, you can't say anything until like an embargo, like you can't say anything until this date. And then the press is able to say, like, you know, limited thoughts on Twitter. And then there's then it goes to, as the movie gets closer, then the tomato meter reveal, and then they're able to actually publish their reviews and that kind of thing. That way they don't hurt the chances of the film or whatever. Because sometimes, I mean, like, you know, you get sleeper hits that bomb in the box office, and then audiences finally see and they love, you know, like The Matrix, you know, it was too complicated in theaters and it bombed.
Boy.
Yeah, which is huge now.
Matrix is 20 years old? I think Matrix is 20 years old today.
Older than that. Yeah, it was probably like 97. So yeah.
One of the Matrixes. Somebody is 20 years old today in that trilogy.
Happy birthday. Just putting that out there.
But I know a lot of people have already bought their tickets to go see Lion King. I mean, I'm going to go see it. It's going to take my money. So
yeah. One of the biggest complaints I'm seeing is that you're hearing animated voices. Like the voice, there's, as far as I could tell, there was zero complaints from the voice acting. Like, it was all phenomenal. But the problem was a disconnect when now you're looking at photorealistic cats, big cats, who cannot make animated expressions.
Oh, like
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, okay. And some people are upset, like Be Prepared was, I mean, they do other songs in the movie, but Be Prepared was like shortened to like a little poem-esque type thing.
Scar,
so people were upset about that.
Listen to Be Prepared on the way over here, just because that's my favorite song.
It's a great song. And there's so many things that are relevant nowadays where it's like the references to the Nazis in the first one, you know, they could have really played off that.
His teeth and ambitions are bare, so be prepared.
Yep. Maybe they were trying to keep Scar more threatening in this one. I don't know. Anyways. I
feel like he was pretty threatening. He literally... Yeah.
Nazi hyenas. I'd be threatened.
Yeah.
I was. And I still am.
All right. So, I guess... Yeah. What's that?
Yep. That. Top three in pop culture this week, according to us, is... this is what you should not miss...
Well, number one, we have some more Star Wars information.
Yes.
Mostly because of the picture of Captain Cardinal.
which was the first red bad guy in the series, I think, maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, so a picture of the newest stormtrooper, the Sith trooper, dropped early this week?
Yeah.
Late last week.
Mid last week, maybe. Yeah, because I posted a picture on Instagram saying that I really wanted to talk about it. And if I didn't get a chance, maybe I'd try to push it into this show. So here we are, number one. Super Star Wars fan.
Did you read the article that went along with it?
I did not. So I have nothing but my speculation.
Okay. Let's hit with your speculations first.
So I know just from watching videos and what other people are saying, like if you look at it from the front, it looks like the new troopers. If you look at it from the side, it looks like the old troopers. So it's kind of like this amalgamation of, you know.
Okay.
And I don't know if that is stylistically on purpose. I mean, it obviously seems like it's on purpose rather than just looking cool. But so this goes deep. And like Mike Zero, who covers Star Wars on YouTube, is talking about a lot of stuff. And then Denim Nerds, I got a shout out to those two guys because that's where I got a lot of this from. It was just really interesting. And I don't know how much, this is all speculation and fan theory. And so none of this is necessarily confirmed, except for one thing I heard from Mike Zero this morning that, well, it might not be confirmed, but it's rumors from people on set saying, get ready, because spoilers, you've been warned, remember? So.
The old man warned you.
That's right. Old man Quinn. So the new thing this morning is that there is supposedly a scene with Luke Skywalker. And we knew that he was probably going to come back as a Force ghost and stuff like that because Rey still needs training. Even though Rey doesn't get training, really. I mean, she trains herself, apparently.
She sounds good, I guess.
Anyways, yeah. That's a whole different thing that we probably going to get into in later, yes. Not episodes, but later on in the show. So apparently he is on set, but and he's on a green screen. And, you know, we've seen the photos of the big fight between Rey and Kylo. And supposedly that is the big fight. And I am going blank on the actress's name. Daisy Ridley has been very excited talking about how epic this big fight at the end is. And it doesn't seem like hype. It seems like she's genuinely excited. Just like it was challenging. It was this. It was that. And so apparently there's rumors that during that big scene, there's going to be these flash. They're calling it a flash fight or whatever, because there are rumors that during this scene, they're going to be because episode 9 is supposed to tie all of the episodes in the entire Skywalker saga and put a big bow on it and end the Skywalker saga. And it's supposed to harken back to all this. So this flash fight is supposed to take Kylo and Rey through these moments throughout the past. And it's like the Force leading them through these moments type thing. Quinn's getting, I don't know what that face is about. But supposedly, like the big, like the Force is supposed to make a big presence in this. And I mean, usually the Force is like this it's really vague thing, but apparently it's like, it's almost like Kylo represents the evil, the dark side of the Force, like, and then Rey is the light side. That's why she's so powerful and all this stuff. But it's like, it's supposed to be the Force trying to balance, because, and this goes deep into the theory because, you know, we heard Palpatine's laugh at the end of the trailer.
Keep going.
So, I'm jumping around. The thing I heard this morning about Luke Skywalker, there's a green screen scene that is supposed to take place where, in that fight where Luke shows up and he is not a Force ghost based on some past rejected, idea that George Lucas had, and where, whether temporarily or permanently, we don't know, Luke comes back to life and he has beaten death, which is like, you know, Darth Plagueis, you know, had beaten death and there, you know, he was there reading all these ancient Jedi texts and maybe he's figured it out or something. But that is also possibly how we're getting Palpatine back, you know, because Darth Plagueis the Wise, that he was telling Anakin, you know, and Plagueis was his master, right? So he beat Plagueis. So but that's where I'm confused, is because if Plagueis could beat death, then where's Plagueis?
Yeah, where's Plagueis
anyway,
now?
Yeah. So does the Emperor know Plagueis' secrets? Yeah. So the theory is these Sith troopers are not Kylo Ren's troopers. Maybe they start in the First Order as them trying to re-up, you know, and beef up their forces. But during during The Last Jedi, Kylo was telling Rey it all needs to die, and he even mentions the Sith needs to die. So Kylo is part of the Knights of Ren. He's the master of the Knights of Ren, which did not make an appearance last movie, but were a big thing in the one before. And the Knights of Ren apparently are a big thing in this one coming up, Rise of Skywalker. So the theory is that the Knights of Ren, and they're not Sith, but even Snoke talked about Kylo completing his training and all that kind of stuff, which seems like maybe then he might step into becoming a Sith. And even in like the other things, there were like Sith apologists, you know, who were not Sith, but they fought for the Sith, who were Force sensitive and used lightsabers and stuff like that in the cartoons and things like, and other stories. So there, he's along that lines, those lines. And right now, him and General Hux are over the First Order, is where we left it. But supposedly there's going to be a time jump. And these are all theories. This is just people putting speculation together based on these Sith troopers, because there's never been Sith troopers. You know what I mean? And when Palpatine was Emperor, he wasn't out as a Sith Lord, you know? But now it seems like, oh, he's just... And it seems like towards the end of his life, he became more... like, based on the books and stuff like that, he became kind of... disgruntled at the Empire not being thankful for everything he'd done and all this kind of stuff, and that this time around he's coming back and he is out in the open. He's out of the closet. and his troopers are Sith troopers. They may be even Force sensitive. They may be even clones of Anakin or Kylo or somebody that's Force sensitive. And so they're going to have to take on an army of Force sensitive troopers. And I mean, this is all speculation, this is craziness, but Kylo is he's got mixed feelings about the Sith, about the dark, whatever. He wants to be in control of the galaxy, obviously. He's trying to make this his thing, the First Order his thing. But of course Hux is loyal to who, there is no supreme commander except for maybe Kylo, who's trying to position himself, it seemed like, at the end of the last movie, as a supreme...
Slim dude against the wall.
Yeah. So, it looks like maybe over this time, Kylo has kind of... This has become his thing. But Palpatine, in past editions or whatever, has talked about a proposition... Or not a proposition, a backup plan, basically... If the Emperor were to fail or to turn away from him or
Order
whatever. Order 67 is what it's called? Okay. They kept calling it something else, but I can't remember. It's like a P word or something.
Yeah.
It's like a backup plan or whatever. So, yeah. So then it seems like the theory goes is that Kylo has things going his way. And of course, Rey is still fighting him because she's a rebel. And they're, you know, he's trying to take over the galaxy. But or whatever, he's in charge and he's trying to do his own thing. But then the Emperor comes back on the scene and is like, that's not the plan. Here's the backup, and institutes his plan, comes back, and then everybody turns on Kylo because they're loyal to the Emperor. And that's where you get the Sith troopers, and then so Kylo, and then Emperor kind of humiliates Kylo and it's like shows him every or tells him how he's manipulated the Skywalkers all throughout the series, and he's just a puppet and he's nothing and all this stuff, and even Darth Vader was the Emperor's puppet and all this kind of stuff, and just basically humiliates him, and he has a moment of clarity and is like, I am an idiot. And so him and Rey team up to defeat the Emperor.
Okay.
And that's where, like, we get these set photos of them on a planet that shows the Death Star, like, sunken, you know, and that's where the Emperor's been hiding out or whatever. And then maybe even Snoke was his agent to institute this, and kind of that he's been pulling strings in the background this entire time. Not Snoke, but the Emperor pulling Snoke strings.
Snoke seems like he's more powerful than the Emperor was. But then again, everybody in the new movies seemed like they were just the most powerful things ever.
Yeah.
But, so first thing, literally, the it being balanced and there being one that represents the dark and one that represents the light. That's like, so in like Star Wars Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, all like those two TV shows, like there's a whole little story arc that follows that real super heavy.
Really?
Like in Star Wars Clone Wars, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka, they go to this very distant like sliver dimension in time that exists outside of time and space, where the father of the Force, who Anakin's supposed to take the place of, and his two children, his son who represented darkness and his daughter who represented like pure light.
Really?
And they,
so Luke is supposed to represent darkness,
one of them. Yeah, I guess like there always has to be a balance. And
right. Sorry, yeah, that's why I forgot. I'm sorry. That ties into the theory, says the reason the Force shows up and tries to put balance is because what the Emperor is trying to do by wiping out the light side is not balance. It is a unnatural thing. And so the Force shows up to bring of good and bad, to bring balance back and defeat the unnatural foe.
Yep. And then them, like Luke coming back, Anakin showing up, Star Wars Rebels, they introduced time travel.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's theories like will this one have time travel? And there's theories that Anakin is going to show up too.
They didn't destroy, because they didn't destroy that little, the thing. They didn't destroy the planet or the tomb. It did get buried, but it didn't get destroyed, of where like the time mirrors were that they could go through, and you can, if you can use the Force, you can go in there, reach in, pull somebody out. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't probably the only one, like the only place that they could go to do that. And it would make,
you know how J.J. Abrams loves to play with time. So,
and yeah, wouldn't be surprised if we see Ian McGregor. Is that his name? I don't want to say it wrong.
Yeah, supposedly they're filming Kenobi right now. And there are rumors that Hayden Christensen, who fans have kind of warmed up to over the past few years, like kind of because, you know, his wooden performance or whatever, you know, that there's were still a lot of haters of the prequels, who, but they've come around now, with especially with The Last Jedi being like the worst that like, they can rally around. So he's been making more of a presence and fan with the fans and showing up at events and stuff like that. And so people are saying, well, he's probably going to show up in the movies, whether it be Kenobi or The Last Skywalker.
Yeah. So, I mean,
as a Force ghost, at least.
Yeah. That'd be fine. But what was the other thing?
I was kind of hoping he was going to show up and be like, Kylo, what are you doing? You're worshiping my darkness. Like, stop, dude.
Have you heard what the idea was for him to show up in the Force Awakens?
No.
Okay, so originally in the Force Awakens, like when Kylo Ren's up there, like, what should I do? Like, if Force Ghost Anakin would show up and like talk to him and everything, and like Kylo Ren thinking about the light, and then when Kylo Ren starts leaning back towards the darkness, Anakin will start like burning up and burning away, and like his skin would like flail back. Wow. And then it'll turn to Vader's mask, and like it'd be a Sith ghost.
Huh. Because didn't you say that there hasn't been a Sith ghost, or recently there was introduced a Sith ghost?
There was there's like Sith ghosts are a thing, but they work differently than like Jedi's Force ghosts. Like Sith ghosts, they're really like maleficent, evil things, and they usually try to prey on someone's mind. Like they show up in like points of time that you're weak, and not to like build you up, but like they'll just go into your dreams and like terrorize you there.
Basically demons.
Yeah.
Wow. So how, I'm confused as to like how, I mean, I get their balance or whatever, maybe that's the explanation, but like how could a Force ghost of Anakin be a Sith at the same time?
because him and Vader were technically two different people. If you want to get super technical.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're both there, and they're still both one, but they're separate. And or, it wasn't like Anakin showing up. It was Plagueis or Sidious playing with them.
Hmm. Yeah, and Sidious is the Emperor.
Yeah.
It's in case you don't know. I know you probably got lost if you're not into Star Wars stuff.
And then what was the other thing? Oh yeah. Clones are a super thing. Like they love clones in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like I've said it like several times in several different places. Rey's probably a clone.
Potentially, yeah.
But if Sidious is still alive, if he doesn't come back from time travel, he's probably a clone. Like they love clones, and they love trying to make Force clones.
Mm-hmm.
They literally did it in two little TV show shorts and a whole video game and a movie.
Yeah.
So
the entire prequel was about. I mean, all the stormtroopers up until the originals on the timeline. Anyway.
Yeah,
very much. And there are also rumors that Rey. Like that J.J. Abrams is retconning Rey's origin story, you know, that because it was kind of left open that Kylo could be lying to her to get what he wants out of her, saying that her parents were nobodies, even though it seemed to kind of confirm what he said when the little kid pulled the broom or whatever, which is a whole different thing into itself. Yeah, exactly. But with that being left open enough to interpretation, J.J. Abrams apparently, according to rumors, is going to retcon that and say she is somebody of importance. She has an important last name, whether it is Skywalker, Kenobi, Palpatine, or... yeah.
Gone? Gascon? Oh, wait, Jin? No.
Jin?
Jin. It would be Jin. Okay.
Or what's Yoda's last name? He's like Madonna. He didn't have
last name. That's his last name. Yeah.
Have last name. That was horrible. I did not. I was not. Yeah.
Have last name.
I can't even say it.
Have no last name, do I? Okay.
Anyways. Sorry.
I actually
played Yoda in a play once, and I can't do it right now.
What was the last part? Oh, the Sith troopers, I'm pretty sure they're going to be Force sensitive because all of the Royal Guard, even in the prequel, their little staffs, they were just lightsaber staffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got the Emperor's Royal Guard, like the long sheet-looking guys with the dome heads.
Yeah, the helmet, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the originals. And then in the new one, the last one, you've got, you know, in
those
his big, you know, Wizard of Oz room.
Yeah.
The guys that were fighting that and the missing knife and all that. Yeah.
Had a chain saber sword.
Yeah.
That, went...
that was actually, like, I mean, we'll get into this later, but that was actually one of my favorite parts in the movie. And I recently watched a YouTube video that showed all the flaws in it. And now I'll never see it the same. I was just like, oh my gosh, it was horrible. Sorry.
Well, it's all right.
Yeah, because I do. I mean, I'm a fanboy. I get caught up in like the wowness of things, you
cool
know, without
stuff happens.
Yeah, because there's a balance. You can still do wow and still do good plot and story underneath.
Balance.
Exactly. Okay. That's pretty good. So yeah, the Rey thing. Apparently, her last name is going to be a thing, and then after a certain point after the movie is released, they're going to start putting her last name on everything. And that's going to be a major selling point for products going forward. So,
Rey Kenobi coming soon.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. Who is the Skywalker? Who is it? Is it Rey? Is Finn a secret Skywalker?
Boy, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he's black, but I mean,
let's do it.
Is he a clone? Is he? I mean, is he?
He's forced.
He could have a white mama or a white daddy.
He could be a Windu, and we just not know.
Oh my goodness! Please let that happen. Oh my gosh! Please, yes. That would mean that Mace was like having a little thing on the side. But hey,
I mean, he does have
one
a brother,
bad mother.
So.
Yeah. Oh, that I would love that. That would be so good. Like, thank you for that. Right now. I'm like so excited for that. Yeah. It's like the next generation. I'm excited about that. See, I'm fanboying out right now. Anyways.
All right. Well, and now, number two. We have a new 007 I didn't think was real and saw it everywhere. So it's...
I had the same reaction. I thought it was just like... Because you see these Twitter things pop up, you know, it's like... We got it covered, or there's some of these other ones that are just like propelling these theories out there that, like, I saw one that was like, it was wegotitcovered.com that some of it looks legit and some of it doesn't. It was saying that, oh, the new remake is Atlantis. The new Disney remake is Atlantis and Guillermo del Toro might direct, which sounds amazing. And I get excited for it because,
my heart.
Yeah, but Guillermo del Toro retweeted it and said, no, this is not true. So thanks for the clarity, Guillermo.
you
broke our hearts.
But I love your still, other TV shows on Netflix.
Yes. And just in general, I love his style and his point of view and his storytelling. One of my favorite directors. So, yes, this one seemed like that at first because it was just like, what? That's out of the blue because...
Super out
like, of the blue. I mean, it wasn't even like 2-3 weeks ago, Idris Elba had an interview where he... Or a write-up or interview came out where he was talking about how upset it made him that people were hung up on him not becoming James Bond because he's black. You know, and I'm torn on it because I love Idris Elba and he's a strong British male, which
yeah.
it fits 007 skin color or not. I mean, he could pull it off at first. Like, I mean, part of me is like, I mean, go back and watch our thing last week, you know, with, you know, where we talk about the Disney remakes and all that, what's going in and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, part of me is like, okay, this is a British, he's British.
Yeah,
but,
he's British.
But this is a traditionally white British misogynist character who is for dudes. Like, this is a movie for dudes to go see, have beers and talk about the hot women and the fast cars and the gadgets. And like, this is a movie for dudes. And now we've got not only a black 007, which was why Idris Elba couldn't be 007. So I don't get that part. But a female 007. So it's like, are we... So let's talk about the pros and cons so that we don't get into rant territory. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of what this means for 007. Lashana Lynch, who was in... all I know, I mean, this might just be... This might just show my limited bias or point of view, but the only thing I know her from is from Captain Marvel. And... where she played the best friend, and she did a good job. I liked her in that. She looks like she could be Don Cheadle's sister.
So she is actually British.
She's British. That was a question that I had, because okay. If she is not British, well, I mean, I don't know. Spider-Man's British, so... I
feel like she has to be like, British.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like everything...
Spider-Man and Superman are both British, so, I mean, if we cast 007 as an American, I would say, thank you. Finally got one back. But... Even Rick Grimes is British.
He is. That blew... Like, literally the number of British actors that's on The Walking Dead blew my mind the first time.
Lenny James. And it's like all the good ones. So it's just like, you can't argue with it. They're just so good, you can't argue with them.
She hasn't really been in, like, a lot. Like, really, the only thing I've seen her in is actually Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Bond 25 is what the new James Bond is being called at the moment.
So, I mean... I have questions. I mean, this has been a really busy week for me, so I did not get a chance to read the articles about it. All I know is that it's a real thing, and she's actually cast as 007. So, is she going to be Jane Bond? Because I know there was talk of that. Do you want to talk about the pros or the cons first, or kind of mix it up?
Let's kind of mix it.
Okay.
Let's mix it up. So let's do a con first. What's a con that you have?
One of the cons I have is that, of course, this is the obvious one. It's pandering. Right on the heels of The Little Mermaid, there was a small, very vocal minority that was upset about The Little Mermaid casting. And from what I could see on Twitter, is a cesspool sometimes. If you had anything other than support for the Halle Bailey, I keep wanting to say Halle Berry, but it's Halle Bailey. And a lot of people were like, Halle Bailey, Halle Berry is the new look. Wow, she is really killing it right now. but anyway, if you had anything other than support for her, you were a racist. Sorry, I just bumped the mic really hard. But like, that's what I don't like is if you question, you're a racist. Like, you're automatically against it, or why should you even question? Like, I don't agree with that. If somebody has a question, it's worth answering, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to question. You're supposed to question things. Don't just blindly accept things, no matter what team they're playing for or whatever. You should always question. Question authority, question choices, decisions. That doesn't necessarily mean challenge.
No.
That just means question. It's like, what are your motives? What is the purpose? Help me get on board. You know, whatever. Is this wrong? Is this right? You know? So to me, this seems like some pandering, especially on the heels of that, where it came out of the blue. And then you've got all the memes that were, you don't like Little Mermaid? We're going to do this now. You know, and it shows like every movie down to Lord of the Rings. as black recasting. So,
look at my rank.
so this seems like pandering without diving deeper. On the surface, it seems like pandering, not only to the black community, but also to the female community, because it's a double reversal. You know, you're not just changing the race, you're also changing the gender.
Kind of feel the same way. I don't know what's the... Like, why? I don't get why. What's the point of it? Like, they're being, you know, just a black James Bond. That's fine. But I kind of get why who is James Bond doesn't matter. Because it's kind of like Batman. Like, not everybody knows that Batman's Bruce Wayne. They just know that Batman is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no matter who is wearing the cowl, if they got that bat on their chest and they look like Batman, no matter what the color of their chin is, they're Batman. It's a symbol, which is kind of what James Bond is. But based off of all of the other movies, the dynamic of this movie is going to be really different. Like, that's another con, I guess. The dynamic of the movie is definitely going to change, unless she's just going to be a lesbian, or she's going to be a Bond dudes now, and she's just going to be manizing? What's the opposite? Okay, womanize.
Trans?
What's the opposite of womanize, but it's for dudes?
I don't know.
Manizize? Manizize.
Manhunter? Man-eater? No, she's a man eater.
Okay. But she's just gonna like womanize dudes now. So, and that's like, the movie's gonna be different. Like, the action, that's fine. You can have action movies with ladies in it. Like Atomic Blonde. I love that movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, like all sorts of movies like that. But
that's one of the movies that, like, on the first watching, I was like, "There, I have some issues." But then after thinking about it, I was like, it just makes so much sense. Like, oh my gosh. Like, Charlize Theron is a genius.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, her accent throughout the thing, I was like, it's inconsistent. And then I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, yeah.
So, yeah. A pro... It's gonna reach a new audience, probably. Like, it might end up being the most popular James Bond movie ever. like, just because movies that have controversy around it like this, and we even said last week, example we gave last week was Beauty and the Beast because of Gaston's little buddy who was gay.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name. Ended up, you know, that made the movie probably one of Disney's.
$1 billion.
Yeah, $1 billion. So it could do something like that, or it could just tank and they realize, oh, I'm sorry.
Like Ghostbusters.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that is a big shift and divide right now in Hollywood, because like I was saying last week, it's inconsistent. Like, what are the rules for this new paradigm? Like, yes, we want to show more representation. We're on board with that. We want to cast people as their actual genders, or their actual, not genders, their actual races. You know, we don't want to take away from that. I don't like that. I want people to be who they are. But at the same time, what's okay to change and what's not okay to change, you know, where you've got like Scarlett Johansson was the fans booted her out of this trans role, Rub and Tug.
Oh yeah.
And she recently was, you know, there was some controversy about some comments that she made, and she clarified, but you know, saying that, you know, they should be casting a trans
person,
actress, yeah, or actor, or they, I don't know how that works. I'm not up on that. I'm a middle-aged white dude, so that lives in middle America. So I'm trying. So I think some of the pro, or a pro for this, is that 007, the headlines I saw didn't say that she was going to be the new James Bond outside of she's the new 007. So 007 is a name, it's a code name that could transfer to anyone, right? So that's the pro, is that you could open up that door and expand on that world in that way. And that could be exciting, as long as you don't give the middle finger to the fan base like Ghostbusters did, you know? Because, you know, like I said, it seemed like pandering and almost like, oh yeah, well, if you don't like it, then there. You know,
yeah.
And you never want to, I mean, backlash, you don't disrespect fans, the fan base, because, not because we're going to talk about toxic fandom and stuff here in a little bit, but the whole reason for that franchise to exist is the fan base.
Yeah.
If you want to do something new, go do something new. If you have run out of ideas, to bring to that franchise, and you don't know what else to do with that franchise, let it go. Move on. Do something new. That's how we got those franchises in the first place. Original content. This is a mixed bag, I guess, with the pros and cons. But like you mentioned, Atomic Blonde, there are some very, very good female spy thrillers.
Yeah.
You know, action movies, female spies. Like, there are some great ones. Turn some of those into franchises. You know, make it something, you know. And I know that that Hollywood is scared of something new and tentpole pictures unless it's based on, it's got a built-in fan base or whatever, because of people's jobs and it's shaky and it's unsure and all these. I get that. But you've got to take risks to make, otherwise you're just going to keep churning out remakes and all this crap. Yeah. I mean, even Disney right now, like, literally, everybody's just like, what the heck, Disney? You've got all the cards in your hand and you're afraid of taking risks.
You have literally all the money, and you're going to have all the more money when you get Disney Plus come out. Yeah. So
yeah, Marvel seems to be the only wing of Disney that's taking risks right now. And people are loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're changing characters who've been around for a long time. They're changing. They're keeping the essence the same of the character, and they're recasting. They're changing them up. Like, I mean, and not everybody agrees. I mean, Lou Ferrigno came out recently and said that he just still can't get into Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. You know, like, it's hard. And so, I mean, not everybody's going to agree, but there are many people who love Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. You know, and some people still hate Professor Hulk because he was useless or this or that, whatever. But, I mean, there nobody... I'm getting into the toxic fandom thing. I'll stay that argument until later. So, 007, Lashana Lynch. I don't know enough about Lashana Lynch to know that she could carry a franchise this huge. I know that they have had issues with James Bond, with the rights going back and forth from the family and where it's going to land. And even recently, Daniel Craig having injuries and things happening on set where they're having to stop. But this storyline that they've been going with Bond is going towards his retirement. Like, he's done. So that could potentially shift into introducing her at the end of this movie, you know, which would be wise instead of just jumping right in. You know, people are going to go see this one because it's the last Bond movie, you know, whatever, quote unquote.
But not the last 007.
Exactly. So, exactly. So, if they were to introduce her at the end and for him to like give a nod to her and then, you know, pass the torch, that would be the wise thing to do and to get people on board rather than waiting and then trying to introduce people to something that they're not going to go show up for in the first place. You know what I mean? So that's what you run into when you're the fans take it as disrespect. So you've got to be careful with that. And we're going to get into that later, but this is one of those things. It's like, you've got to really make sure that you've got the fan base on board, because if you don't have them on board, then you're making movies in a vacuum.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything for you. It's going to stagnate, and then you're going to just kill something that everybody loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are going to be so disappointed because they watched it go out with a fizzle rather than a bang. Bye-bye. And they feel like injustice to one of their favorite characters. I mean, this James Bond has been going on for, 30, 40 years? For a long time.
Back when Sean Connery was tall and had a head full of black hair.
Yeah.
So.
And even then, he wasn't classically a British actor. He was Scottish.
Yeah.
And one of the best Bonds. He
backhand women a lot. I watched, what was it?
Bond has progressed a lot.
Yeah, he has progressed a lot. I was like, I was watching it. It was, Octopussy, that's the name of that. The names of these movies have gotten better as well.
Yeah.
He just like smooth slapped a woman. I was like, oh, okay. this is real.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they out of ideas? I don't know. Is this something good? Is it something bad? The verdict is still out. I mean, I'm trying not to get into my personal feelings. I'm trying to look at it as pros and cons. Do you have any pros? Other than this could be, then it's a symbol, you know?
Other pros. It could open the doors for a Bond universe as well.
Ooh, that could be interesting. That could be exciting. And by doing this double reversal, it might not be a negative thing. It might open the door to bring in a whole other group of people who were not interested in Bond because of the male, white male chauvinistic thing that it has been attached to James Bond for so long.
Yeah.
And middle-aged white dudes like me show up for Atomic Blonde. So if you play your cards right and you transition this wisely.
Yeah.
You could really, really double down and blow this up in a good way.
Yeah.
So it could be exciting. That's why I'm reserving judgment. I want to see what they're going to do, because if they come at it in a petty, oh, we're sick of the racists, we're sick of this, we're sick of that type thing, you're basically saying, you're name calling all the fan base. You know what I mean? Like, In things that aren't true in a blanket statement. Yeah, there's probably some racists, some white chauvinists, some you know, male chauvinists. There are definitely some of those in the fan base. Yes. Is everyone in the fan base that? Absolutely not. So that's where you don't want to group those people together, because I don't want to be associated with that. And I love James Bond. You know, there are certain things that I overlook. Yeah. Do I not watch the old ones? Not really. But, you know, but I mean, I love the new James Bond. We had a marathon a couple years back when the last one came out with my son and Lydia, who'd never seen a James Bond, and we loved them.
What was the last one's name? It's not the Phantom Thread.
That's Skyfall. No, it wasn't Skyfall. It was
Spectre. Spectre. There we go. Has he done four? Dale Craig done four?
Yeah.
Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was gonna quit like twice already. But yeah, so, I mean, and even like, and every single time they cast somebody new, even Daniel Craig, everybody's like, oh, he's too blonde to be.
What?
And he's turned out to be one of the best Bonds, you know? So we'll see. I mean, people are always critical up front, but give them a reason not to be critical. Don't play into that and play your cards well, and this could be good. So I'm excited for Lashana Lynch. This is a huge opportunity for her.
Yeah.
Huge.
Super is.
You know, I'm not to downplay anything she's done in the past and say, oh, this is going to make her or anything like that.
It's but career defining.
It could. It could be.
She's made herself, but now it's like, this is my legacy.
Yeah. This you step into legacy with this. Even though she is a Marvel character, she's opening the door to that with this Marvel character, Photon, and the daughter and that kind of thing, Captain Marvel. So...
All right.
Could be good.
Could be good. And now, number three. Last but certainly not least.
This is such an ongoing issue. I don't think this is ever going to go away.
Probably not. But it's kind of, it's fan complaints versus toxic fandom. So like when we say that, you know, fan complaints, like people writing in letters and things like that of like, we'll just use Stranger Things because that's the one that's on top of my head. Of like them smoking in movies and everything, or not in smoking in the show a lot. But you know, they're trying to keep it as the way it was. It was the 80s. People smoked. We didn't know.
Yeah, that is a period piece.
Yeah,
like I mean, everybody and their mama smoked. I mean, I remember in the 90s. High schools had smoking sections.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you could get a pass signed by your parents and you could go smoke in the smoking section at the high school. Yeah. Yeah, it was a thing. And it was common. It was like, now you'll be lucky to get a tree off campus for people who actually work there.
Pretty much.
That's the smoking tree way over there.
But it's a mile down the road. We know.
Yeah.
Just go.
Yeah. Don't smoke. Or vape.
And then that's an example of fan complaints. But then toxic fandom is like the folks who get on there and be like, you should die because we hate your character that's not real and in space. Die.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But.
So, yeah, the way I see it, even George R. R. Martin has come out recently saying that toxic fandom kind of screwed up season 8 of Game of Thrones or whatever. And I disagree to a certain extent. Yes. Social media and the internet has given a platform to trolls. No doubt there are trolls.
Yeah.
Like what I talked about earlier in this episode, Spider-Man 2 or 2 Far From Home.
Spider-Man technically, 3 Spider-Man. Part 2.
Yeah. It's colons. So yeah, I mean I haven't seen the movie and this is only its second week in the box office, and I know everything that happened because people and their clickbait titles just from scrolling. Trolling. That is trolling. You're spoiling it. You're ruining it for other people.
Yeah.
If you want to have a discussion and disagree, that's fine. But to put it out there, that is the media. doing that. That is people on YouTube are not really media necessarily, but those are not just necessarily just like normal folks. You know what I mean? Those are people who have channels, who have followers, who are part of the new media, I guess I should say. who are clickbait titles, BuzzFeed, who is definitely considered media.
Yeah.
Clickbait titles. Clickbait is trolling. It is trolling. Yes.
You can get people to read your stuff without saying, oh, this is who died, and here's why.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might not say what happened in your title, but your thumbnail says it all. You know, it's like, stop. Yep. Hashtag don't be a troll. That is my hashtag. Don't be a troll. And I've said that from The Last Jedi. And that was a movie that I despised.
I didn't despise it, but
I've grown to hate it more. But I mean, there are some visually amazing things about it, but story-wise and consistency and respect to the universe, respect to the fan base.
Story-wise, it was
not cool.
Garbage.
And that is a big one to get into toxic fandom and stuff like that, because that is why Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, Rian Johnson, why they say they're having issues with... They're saying that people are afraid of strong female characters, that it's toxic fandom. And that seems to be a blanket excuse for, I don't want to take responsibility for my crappy writing. Because Rian Johnson on Twitter is classic for calling people
snapback
assholes, for calling people man babies.
Snapback.
Yeah. Not saying, hey, you know what? You might have a good point. I may have messed up, you know?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, when you're watching a media junket, and the star of the franchise looks unhappy and says things in disagreement to the movie, and you have to cut him off, and then double down on your narrative. You've got problems. That's not the fan base. That's you. Yeah. That's not the fan base. Well, Mark Hamill just don't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Mark Hamill don't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Mark Hamill's freaking a legend. You don't tell Mark Hamill to keep his mouth shut. Like, he's Mark Hamill. Like, he is Star Wars. Like, there's George Lucas and there's Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even George Lucas, like, back in the day, he got complaints from parents that let their kids watch Star Wars. Like, Han Solo is supposed to be a good guy. He's not supposed to shoot first. And then he did that whole thing of, like, you know, computer editing that. And then he shoots. So I'm like, people will just, like, kneel down to it. And it's like, okay, sure, fine. If that's what will make you give me your money, okay. Mm-hmm. But... And then Daisy Ridley, she said in an interview last week that fans have a right to be upset with The Last Jedi, if we're just going to talk about The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. But toxic fandom can, like, ruin things for everybody.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Before I
wanted to touch on a couple of Star Wars things just before we move on to a different fandom. toxic examples of toxic fandom. Daisy Ridley having to leave Twitter because people shouting her down, or having to leave social media because people shouting her down. I hate your character. I hate this. I hate that. Nothing constructive. It's like, I didn't like it because this or that.
Just saying.
You know, threats. Like, that is toxic. That is not okay. That is not okay in any scenario, in any situation. You do not threaten people.
There's still people.
Okay? That's not okay. I forget her name. The lady that played Rose, her character, horribly written, unnecessary. Her as a person got death threats, dealt with suicide. That is not okay.
No,
that is not okay. She took a job, did the best she could
with what she was given,
with a great opportunity.
Yeah.
That's not her fault. She did what she was supposed to do. With what she had, she did good. She was likable. In if you look at it through that lens, how she did good.
Didn't have to make a love pentagon, but she was good.
Yeah, the writing, horrible. That's on Rian Johnson. That's on Kathleen Kennedy. Okay? That is not her. All right? That is toxic fandom. You don't, you're not putting the blame where it belongs and lashing out at people. You know, George being rude, being obnoxious, trolling. That is toxic fandom. Saying you disagree with somebody, that's not toxic. That is constructive. That is a fan base. Fans who love it want to see it do well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for you to turn around and say, oh, well, you're just a man baby, or you're just an asshole, or you're just afraid of strong female characters. We're afraid of strong female characters? We freaking love Leia.
Yeah.
We freaking love Sigourney Weaver in Alien. We love the other big bad chick with the big gun in Alien. We love Atomic Blonde. I mean, how many?
Sarah Connor.
All the way back, Jackie Brown. I mean, going back to the 70s, like there are several strong female characters, and yet there's this narrative in Hollywood right now. It's like the first strong female. You're trying to build hype around what you're doing. Is what you're doing. You're trying to manipulate people. That's not okay. That is toxic. Because. That's toxic in a way that it is manipulation, because it's like you're trapping people. It's entrapment. You're putting out a narrative, and then when people disagree with it, they're a racist. They're this. They're that. And so you're trying to set up a narrative that no one can disagree with without being a bad person, like morally bad because they disagree with you. That is not okay. That's not okay. You know, like people disagree. Yes, there were people who disagreed with the Little Mermaid casting. Yes, there were people who are racist who did not agree with it simply because she was a black girl. That is bad.
Yeah.
Call out the racists. Absolutely. But everybody who disagrees with it or says something that might be slightly negative or questioning to the narrative is not a racist. I mean, yeah. Am I wrong in that?
No.
I mean, I'm not trying to use you as like a token black guy or anything like that. But
I mean, with certain things like that, it like, I really feel like it's not basically pandering. And with the Little Mermaid, Shay's like the same way. She doesn't really, it doesn't settle well with her. And she's a black woman that it doesn't settle well with her that the Little Mermaid's black. Like she said, I get it. It's, you know, black girl magic. It's everywhere right now. But let the Little Mermaid. Exciting. Yeah. But the Little Mermaid can be the Little Mermaid. But if not, just don't mess it up. Like if you're going to do it and like that's going to be your thing, like the thing that you're going to use to propel this movie forward to everyone is that she is the Little Mermaid because of this reason, then don't mess the movie up. Because if you mess it up, it's just like, what was the point? Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it almost seems like, I mean, and I know it's not this way every single time, but it's getting to where it's almost like, oh, you're sick and tired of remakes. Oh, well, let's do something new. And this is just the new lazy version of remakes. Let's change it up. You know, woo, let's. You know, let's get this person excited. Like,
and all you're version.
Yeah, it's not smart writing.
Yeah.
It's pandering. It's like, ooh, what big gimmick. It's gimmicky is what it is. And I you know, I don't necessarily like it. If it's gimmicky, if it's just for the sake of getting people on board, that's not cool. If you have a legitimate reason, it's like, I have a really great story. If this person is black, this could be great. Like, I want to see that. Yeah. If this traditionally male character is female, I have a great story to write in from that perspective. I want to see that.
Like, what's an odd example? An odd example is Dragon Age Inquisition. Like, if you play that game as a dude, no matter what your class is, if you play the game as a guy, it's a good story, but they unsubconsciously or they purposely made the game to be played where the main character's supposed to be female. Because you end up having like a lot more storylines and a lot more everything that makes this a better story.
Really?
Yeah. Like I played the game through as a guy and I was like, oh, it was like really good. And like the main bad guy at the end ended up becoming my friend, but we were opposite sides. But I played through as a woman. I could fall in love with him. And like that's just a whole nother dynamic to the story. So like, stories can be made in ways and taken in different perspectives, but if you're doing it just for gimmicky reasons, but you're not trying to like make it work, what's the point?
Yeah. It just seems like the lazy thing right now. Instead of coming up with original material, you know, and granted, I understand the draw. You know, you've got a built-in fan base for this. But if you go in and you say, you know what? I mean, it's counterintuitive. It's a catch-22 because you're saying the reason I'm going to use this is because of the fan base. But then you don't give the fan base what they want. You're
just doing what you want.
Yeah, exactly. You're basically just, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then you get mad when the fan base calls you out as a wolf.
Snapback.
Yeah, that's your, I mean, no. I don't understand. You can't just slap a label on people and say, you know, oh, well, what I did is untouchable. No, nobody's untouchable.
No one's untouchable.
You know, all movies have problems. Yeah, but they're not all movies. There are some
solid movies.
Amazing movies. Years. Godfather, untouchable. That's Godfather untouchable. 2, untouchable. Scarface, amazing. I'm going back to gangster movies, but there are some pretty dang near perfect movies.
Pulp Fiction, since we're saying gangster movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not everybody's going to agree with everything, but you can't say screw the fan base. It's like saying, oh, you want ice cream? Like, let's go get ice cream because you want ice cream, and then when we get there, surprise, it's not ice cream, it's spaghetti. Don't get mad.
Spaghetti.
it's like, how dare you get mad that I brought you to spaghetti? I didn't have to bring you to spaghetti. Well, you told me it was ice cream.
When like, did I say it was ice cream?
You're misleading the fans. You know what I mean?
Just it's to like, get them in so you can get that money.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're both angry enough today.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, that you mentioned Game of Thrones. I know we got to wrap this up. Game of Thrones, like George R. R. Martin saying the fan base is just out of control. Some of it, yes, absolutely. There's no denying that there are trolls. There are crazy people. I mean, like when I posted, all I did was post the new casting of Holly Bailey for The Little Mermaid. And when I didn't know who she was because she's relatively new on the scene, right? And she's young. And she's in a band,
R&B group.
She's an R&B group with her sister who is older than her, but they look a lot alike. Like, I had to look, like, the shape of their face is different, and one sister has a mole over her eyebrow. That's the only way I can tell the difference between them. And one is taller than the other. But if you're just pulling up pictures of each one and you're not familiar, I couldn't tell at first. Yeah. And so I kept pulling up sister or pictures and it would show both of them together. And I was like, it's not both of them that are cast, obviously. So I was trying to pull up a picture of Hallie. And so I went to the Rotten Tomatoes site and it had them mislabeled. Like they had them mislabeled. And so I pulled the picture thinking that was Hallie. And so I posted the picture of the other sister. I can't remember her name right now. Chloe. Next to the Little Mermaid. And I said, Hallie's been cast as a Little Mermaid. Somebody was like, that is Chloe. Delete this post. Not like, hey, man, this isn't the right person, you know. Yeah. It's like, delete this post. And it's like, I don't know you from anybody. You just going to show up and tell me what to do with my stuff? It's like, I'm putting it out there informational purposes. Yes, I should have done more research, and I got in a rush trying to put it out and beat the thing or whatever. But in fairness, Rotten Tomatoes got it wrong, too. <It's> wrong. And I'm not in any form or fashion as professional or as have as many resources or as deep as Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
So if they can mess it up, get off my back. You know what I mean? That telling people, kill yourself, delete this post, that is toxic. Nobody should ever, if you don't speak to like that to someone, if you don't speak like that to someone to their face, you shouldn't speak like that online to them.
If you speak like that to someone in their face, hey, you're a maniac.
Yeah, and you should get your face slapped.
Yeah.
You deserve whatever punch is coming your way.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Toxic fandom has been running rampant ever since. Social media has been like a real thing, and people realize, oh, they can't find me. I'm just going to be... do this and now.
Yeah, and it used to be hate mail, and you know, people get hate mail, you know, but sometimes you just got to give things time for people to get used to them, you know. And then, you know, like the Matrix, when it first came out, people didn't understand it. Will Smith turned it down because he didn't understand it, and now he takes every sci-fi thing that comes his way because he's worried that he's gonna miss out on a big one. Like, I guess,
oh gosh, dang it. I'm not gonna get another Matrix.
So, I mean, yeah, it was a sleeper hit. It took a while for people to get it, understand it, see it a few times, and now it's huge. It's genius. It's a game changer. I mean, you have to respect what came before. And if you want to change it, you have to change it in an interesting way. It's like, I mean, you have to see it as the big picture. It's like, and see it, like, even though it is... like, I think Robot Head or something, one of the YouTubers I was watching on this, made a lot of good points, and I reposted on Facebook, but he was saying that, you know, this isn't like the first or second movie in the franchise. This is 8 of 9. There's so much established, and for you to just, by the way, like, yeah, of course people are going to get upset. Right, you know, you're supposed to be wrapping up the story, not saying, hey, yeah.
Let's just start a new one, stamp.
Exactly. I mean, wait for your trilogy if you want to change things up. Mm-hmm. Be smart about it. I mean, I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm just saying it's unwise. And it seems like a rookie amateur mistake. And then when people call you out on it, not saying, hey, you know what? I did my best. I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
You're going to ruin it for others.
I like what I did, but I understand that you disagree. Instead of just going, you're just stupid. I mean, like, come on.
We're and not then 10.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the playground.
All right.
Yep.
I'm good.
So, once again, we'd like to say thanks for joining us by YouTube and or podcast. If you want to keep the conversation going or support the show, you can, of course, comment below, or you can find all that information in the episode notes or at the website at www.broken.picturesno.com. And don't forget that you can leave us a voice message and or questions that we can play on the show. Go to www.anchor.fm/thefomoshow to talk to us. And YouTube viewers, please like and subscribe. Hit the little bell icon.
Ding.
For new notifications for notifications when we put out new videos. Which hopefully it's going to be a lot here soon because Comic-Con is right around the corner. And there's going to be a lot of new information.
So many trailers.
Yes. So podcast listeners, please leave us 5 stars in your podcast app. This is Dylan.
This is Quinn.
And see you next time. Peace.
See ya. Bye.